Okay, so we are here today with Alien Book, and today we are reading Medical Apartheid, and we have with us Amy Walsh, who is the Global EM Fellowship Director at Regents Hospital in Wisconsin. So thank you, Amy, for joining us and suggesting this book and preparing the post for Alien Book. So, Amy, can you tell me why you suggested this book for the book club this month?
Well, I think this book, as I was reading it, I was just really impressed by how important it is and how few of the stories that she tells in this book that I had ever really heard before. And I feel like kind of throughout our society right now, we're having a lot of a large discussion about race, race relations, and racism and how pervasive it is. And I haven't really heard that discussion happening as much within the field of medicine. And I feel like this book is an important start of that conversation.
Yeah, thank you. I agree. When I read this book, there was so much that I didn't know before this, and these stories were just horrific. Like stories I couldn't believe I had been in this field of medicine and had not been made aware of the atrocities that have happened as part of our American history and our medical history before. So you talked about some of those in your post. Do you want to highlight some that were most shocking to you when you read this book?
Well, I think part of it is, as we reckon with a lot of the figures that we've honored in the past and the monuments and things like that, I saw that a lot with Marion Sims and how he's been celebrated. But then if you look back at his work, what it actually was torturing people. And that a lot of the torture that he was doing to these women ended up not even necessarily being necessary because other people were working on that technique in more legitimate ways. And so he just recently took his statue down in Central Park, just how he's been celebrated, whereas like really looking at what he's done shouldn't be cause for celebration, really should cause us to pause for reflection. The other things I think are interesting is how medicine was sort of used as a tool to perpetuate racial difference and to as a tool to advance the cause of white supremacy. And I feel like that's another thing that we haven't really reckoned with as a profession. Of course, as she goes on and talks about the black body on display, that's really uncomfortable as well to think about putting people in zoos or how you really don't hear the full story of Tuskegee. But I think the thing that surprised me the most was kind of how much this has continued on past Tuskegee, how people are kind of using the juvenile justice system to access research subjects, despite the fact that ever since Nuremberg, research on prisoners themselves has not been permitted, but still kind of using that system to access relatives and things like that. I just thought all of those were really compelling. And I think that in our education, when we're told the story of Tuskegee, we're sort of told it as kind of the end of research violations, that that was when we figured it out. But Harriet Washington really makes a compelling case that it's ongoing and really something that we need to look in the mirror about.
Yeah. No, I think that she really does an in-depth look into our history, and also has she describes in the back of the book that these are really the roots of disparity in our current medical system, and they didn't go away. We still have a long way to go, and the gap and the disparity continues. So how do we address this? How do we address this today? I think now, like you mentioned, we have new ways of sort of hiding some of the way we continue to perpetuate disparity in our country and in the medical field. And reading this book made me think of, as an educator in medical education and emergency medicine, how does this affect my own practice and how does this affect the way I teach? In one way, I think of it how it on a daily basis, I see patients of minority groups and how they're affected, maybe even just in that patient interaction I have with them that day. How are they affected by coming to the hospital and being seen by a white physician, or just even needing to be a patient in a hospital and a system that they might not trust? So it just gives me a new approach, a new sense of empathy when I'm treating these patients who might be affected by a history that I wasn't as aware of before reading this book.
Yeah, I think that that's probably the biggest influence on my practice that it's had was to just come in with a better sense of empathy and understanding of where people are coming from. Because even though this history is sort of new information to us, even though it probably shouldn't be, I think it's well known with communities of color, and that information has kind of been passed on. And I think it just really made me question a lot of the racialized information that we received in our medical school curriculum, as far as even things like the test question, where if you have a Black patient with X, Y, and Z trying to point you toward a specific diagnosis, or just how the stereotypes about the Black body that were really introduced in the justification for slavery have kind of been perpetuated, like in that study that we talked about how a fairly significant proportion of medical students in that study thought there were legitimate racial differences in pain sensation. You know, and that just blows my mind, because that's all just being pulled forward through that history. The understanding of that is really where it's changed the most for me so far. But I think that hopefully going forward, that I'm going to be able to try to find those stereotypes that have kind of, that I've been taught through the curriculum and through the hidden curriculum, and being able to go back and challenge those by looking back at the actual research and things like that. But that is problematic because of next the research and all those kinds of things. It's unpacking that is just a really big challenge.
Yeah, so it's like unveiling this hidden history is really what Harriet Washington did for us in this book. And then just moving forward from there, like you mentioned, where is our research going? I think that starts with just recognizing why it's important that we advocate for more diversity in our leadership and our research, people who are doing the research, and in our educators as well. Because if you have a more diverse leadership, it's more likely that this would be part of our education and our research would work towards closing that disparity gap, and hopefully also working on increasing understanding of the medicine that works for different populations. What is evidence-based and true science, and not just medicine or science that's using to promote a stereotype that is benefiting some.
Yeah, and I think having more diverse leadership, even on a simpler level, just to call out, hey, you know, it seems like you're behaving in a way that is predatory for disadvantaged groups, makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think understanding that, like, some of the actions that we do or that some of us do aren't meant to be racist or aren't meant to be harmful, but they are if you don't understand how that experience that other person is going through. What you were just saying, having someone be that voice to echo what other people are feeling or how our current practice might be damaging to other people is so important. Mm-hmm. You ended your post about talking about how Harriet Washington advocates that African-American patients and minority patients have some trust to allow better research to be performed. Can you talk a little bit about that part of your post?
Well, I think that was one of the coolest parts of this book. Mm-hmm. I thought that even though she had these really scathing critiques, that she really put a lot of thought into what is the way forward. And she really looked at how can we fix this and how can we make it right, and fully acknowledges that there's not really a way to address health disparities in communities of color without doing research. Comes at it with a really pragmatic approach of saying, these are the things that you need to understand before being willing to participate in research, but it's going to be vitally important for the health of your community if those researchers have kind of met those criteria, which I thought was really important, because I think when you've had these violations happen to you or to your family in the past, it's really easy to say, I'm just going to withdraw from this and not engage with that system. I think medicine is moving in the direction of community-based research, but I think that would really be particularly vital in these cases where you have such mistrust and such earned mistrust to move forward.
So something I just find interesting to think about is moving forward. On the other side, this discomfort that I have with engaging in some of this material, like reading these horrific stories and the abuse that happened and just addressing it. I think it's painful. Something I want to bring attention to is just how do we address that pain that we're going to feel as we start to hear these stories and address this information and try to make amends for the past? What are your thoughts on that, on addressing that side of disparity and racism?
Guys, that's a hard question. You know, it's one of those where you kind of want to acknowledge that you are having this strong reaction to it, because that's part of the problem from before, is that a lot of times turn a blind eye to it or don't see that shared humanity. But at the same time, acknowledging that it's not really my feelings that matter in this situation, acknowledging those feelings as they come up, but also if it's this painful for me to read about it, imagine the experience of that person or their family. And then I think also trying to keep the focus on centering those voices that haven't really been heard and getting their input on what the path forward is. In that discomfort, for me at least, I know for myself, whenever I'm dealing with a difficult situation, that my urge is to fix it and to, I just feel so much better once I have a solution in hand. And so it's easy for me to be like, oh, well, we could fix it by doing X, Y, or Z, and kind of attempting to take over rather than trying to hear what those marginalized communities need from us to repair the relationship.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's such a good perspective and advice on programs who want to address this issue and work towards solutions, or what I think I like to use the word amendment, how that this can never be solved, but hopefully from these tragedies we can address them, make sure that they're heard, and work towards a better future. And I don't think they should ever be erased. These are stories that need to continue to be part of our history and be shared.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast today actually about the Larry Nassar case, and journalists that were talking about it, one of them asked about, okay, what does justice look like in this case, you know, beyond Larry Nassar, for all of the people that kind of supported that continuing for as long as it did. The other person was like, you know, I don't even know that I could answer what justice looks like. We need to think about what does accountability look like. And I think it's kind of a similar thing in this situation where, unfortunately, at least in the short term, justice is probably beyond what we could hope to achieve, but at least kind of taking accountability for his actions in this, and one, making sure that it stops going forward, and then from there, kind of working with the victims to make it right.
Yeah, it's after I started reading this book, I just would hear so many similarities in what is happening today with so many issues of disparity among so many groups. And I think that we're really in an interesting time here where we're looking to address our history and getting comfortable with that, or uncomfortable with some of that history. It was such a good time for us to read this book. And I want to thank you, Amy, for your very good reflections and thoughtfulness with this topic, which is not an easy topic to talk about. So I hope this just starts to open up more discussion in our field on how we're going to move forward with some of the things that we read in this book. And hopefully we'll have more readers chime in and also bring this to their residency programs or their medical schools. And I look forward to doing another book with you in the future.
Great. Yeah. Two things, you know, after I just said not to propose solutions, two things I think could be really important potential solutions in this would be, one, to try to get this book into as many curricula as possible. I think it's really powerful and important. The other thing that I think that we can do as a medical profession is really to try to lift up the historically Black colleges, medical schools. And I think that that's important for a couple of reasons. One is to try to get more Black physicians in our medical community. But the other, there's some really great research that shows that historically Black medical schools kind of do the most for society. They work with the most disadvantaged populations. They stay in primary care and are really doing important work. I kind of derailed your sign off there a little bit.
No, I'm glad. These were really important comments. So I'm glad
to think about going forward. So
Yeah, I think that's really important just to maybe get involved on like the local level. If you're a doctor in a community, do some reach out into those also younger levels of education, like middle school, high school. I know at the last CORD conference that was spoken about, that's where we need to start start at preschool if we want to really talk about diversity and closing that gap. It's not easy work. There's no like quick patch for this, but we all need to be dedicated to recognizing this is a problem and being a part of working on that, on progress. So Amy, any other thing that I know we had some other topics that we talked about that we would address today. Was there anything we missed?
I think that we ended up kind of hitting the big ones and the ones that I was hoping to get to, but just wanted to kind of throw those last couple ones in there.
So. Yeah, they were really important. I'm glad you did. And so thank you again, Amy Walsh, for joining us from Wisconsin. We hope to have you join us again for Alien Book. And so again, this book is Medical Apartheid, recommended for all medical students, residencies, and even if you're not in the medical field, it's just such an important historical book to read. Okay, thank you, Amy.
All right, thank you.